David and worship team, thank you for leading us so beautifully. And if you would remember Barbara Reitler in your prayers, Barbara is our organist keyboardist. She's in Madagascar right now as a part of a ministry that she and her husband Jim are part of. So hold Barbara in prayer all the way around the world doing very significant work. Also, we don't have children's church during the summer, but there are busy bags, and our nursery is open, and I believe it is staffed if little ones need to go back there. Well, there's a church in Phoenix, Arizona, where people, when they are baptized, they're given a T-shirt that reads, "Made for more than just me." Made for more than just me. And Dylan, I was thinking we should have had that T-shirt for you today. We should have it for all of us, whenever people are baptized, and for all of us to wear it. Made for more than just me. Because that is what we are. We're made for so much more than just our own stuff and the things that we have going on. In baptism, we affirm that we are made by and we are more made for God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That He has called us to be His own, and He calls us that word, beloved. We are His beloved. Passionately beloved by God. So Dylan, that's who you are. You're His beloved. You're made for more than just me. More than just you. We all are. We are following this life of following Jesus. Whether we were baptized years ago or baptized last week like Everly Strand or baptized today like Dylan, we affirm with our lives and we symbolize it by going under the water of baptism. And what Paul wrote to the Colossian church is meant to be true for us as well. That we're raised with Christ and we're setting our hearts on things above. And that whatever we do, whether in word or in deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Everything about us, in word and deed, in thought and action, is all about Jesus. And so we wake up into this every day, following Jesus. And in following Jesus, we intentionally, day by day, with His help, we invite this relationship to influence every decision, every step, every action, every attitude about us. Our actions, our reactions, our use of time, our use of gifts, including our perception of everything and everyone. It's an all-the-time thing that we're part of. As one writer puts it, in following Jesus, we start to look more and more like the one we follow. Not physically, of course. But in our actions, our words, our priorities, in how we go about our daily lives, becoming more and more like Him. And of course, we trip and we fall. We mess things up. We sin. And we need to come in repentance to receive forgiveness and to be put on our feet again. But we go in this direction, following Jesus, by His grace, becoming more and more like Him. And here's where the gift of the Holy Spirit is so beautiful and so important, because the Holy Spirit is given to help us become integral parts of this new creation God is creating here around us, all through Jesus. Through Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are about so much more than just us. We're about God's new creation. We heard earlier how the Holy Spirit moved on the day of Pentecost. Wind, fire, words. Filling those first followers with passion and power unlike anything they had known before. And through them, the good news of God in Christ went out in every direction to multiple languages, to multiple people groups, crossing all kinds of barriers and boundaries. It was an explosion of new news and good news that people heard and received like never before. And if you're familiar with the story in Acts, if you keep reading about the beginning of the church, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in such a powerful way upon those first followers, and it was 120 of them, according to Acts, By the end of that day, 3,000 people came to Christ and were baptized. 120 to 3,000 in one day. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit that continues to be at work here among us. And how amazing that this Holy Spirit continues to be given to each one of us who are following Jesus. For those of us who have yielded our lives to Christ and know that we've been raised with Christ, as Paul put it, and have our day-by-day focus on the whole plan and story of God redeeming the world, we are gifted by the Holy Spirit, this same Holy Spirit, each of us in different ways. And these gifts, as uniquely given as they are and as widely spread as they are, they all go in the same direction toward Jesus, toward this new creation that God is bringing, a life of forgiveness and reconciliation and redemption and justice and peace. God's shalom, to use the Hebrew word. Paul put it this way: from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. We regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, and all this is from God, who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. It's like our address. It's where we live. Where it reads that he committed us to this ministry of reconciliation, it can literally be translated, he placed us there. He put us in that place. So let's hear today's text from 1 Corinthians 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. And even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I said earlier, we wake up into this every morning. The call of Jesus on our lives, this identity of being in Christ and following him, and being given these unique gifts by the Holy Spirit, which, as Paul put, are given for the common good. It reads this way in the message: each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. Each day we wake up into this, a new beginning toward this new creation, this common good of God. But we also wake up each day into a world that is wildly going the opposite direction, don't we? A world with incredibly destructive and divisive power at work. We wake up into a place that is destabilized by sin and everything that sin spawns. We see it on a small scale in our daily life with others, including with each other. We're part of this. Think of how easily we can offend or be offended. How quick we can be to be harsh and to point fingers or to deliver that cutting word or that demeaning phrase about somebody or to somebody. Things are just, they're right there. They just roll out of us. Think of the grudges we hold and the opinions we hold that we refuse to change. It's like pollen in the air. Even if we're not generating, we absorb it and it impacts us. We see it on a large scale too. All we need to do is to glance at the news. It seems like we're going backwards, doesn't it? We wake up to it each day and it shows this world with a continuing addiction to violence and degradation and abuse. We wake up to a world absolutely addicted to sin, like to crack cocaine. We see it in deeply bred bigotry and racism. We hear it in well-practiced rationalizations of that bigotry and racism. And the destructive, divisive, rage-inducing consequences that brings. We know that just last week, there was that vicious anti-Muslim verbal attack on two African-American teenagers riding on a commuter train in Portland. One of them was simply wearing a hijab. And it's Ramadan. Well, a white supremacist launched a vicious verbal attack at these two girls, two teenage girls. And three white men stood up on their behalf. One of them, an army veteran with tours of duty in Iran and Afghanistan, father of four children. He and a 23-year-old university graduate were attacked by this man and died. And the third one who stood up, a 21-year-old poet university student, he is gravely injured. What's going on? This is Portland. Then there were nooses in the news last week. Nooses, like used in lynchings. One at the African American History Museum in Washington, D.C. Another at an outdoor sculpture garden, and two on university campuses. Nooses with bananas in them. Graphic symbols of hate and intimidation directed at African Americans. And on it goes. Each week, it seems like it's gaining momentum. Pick up people group or people of color and their targets. Even the wealthy and famous like LeBron James are not exempt. He had graffiti, racist graffiti, spray painted on his property last week. And this is just last week. And then, of course, we see it on a global scale. This news from London, from last night, people out for an evening, and a van comes across the bridge hitting people, and then knife attacks, and seven people died. Then there's genocide. Wars against whole people groups and terrorist attacks that are ongoing. There's the one in Manchester, England, and a casino in Manila. Hateful, murderous disregard for innocence and children and peace, all in favor of a twisted evil agenda. To quote Bono, who's a follower of Christ, he said this about Manchester. They hate everything we love. It's the worst of humanity that was on display in Manchester. So we wake up into this every morning. To a world unflinchingly addicted to sin and pride and power and all of its forms, from small scale between us to large scale in the country to the global scale around the world. It's into this that we go as followers of Jesus. Part of the new creation. Gifted by the Holy Spirit more than we know. Called to be people living out what that baptism t-shirt reads. Made for more than just me. We're made for God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. New creations, living toward and living like Jesus for the common good that God intends. As much as any time that we've been alive, Jesus' followers need to step up. We need to have the Holy Spirit move us out into the broken places and to move to people who are suffering, having our eyes wide open to the awfulness, but also wide open to the redeeming reconciliation of God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. As much as any other time that we've been alive, Jesus followers, by God's grace, need to truly look like Jesus in our actions, in our words, in our reactions, and what we post online, to sound like Him, to live like Him, to have His truth full on changing us, and to have the Holy Spirit do in us just what Jesus said in John 15. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. It's not just for us. It's for more than us. As Paul wrote, it's for the common good God intends. So I've been struck by something that the New Testament scholar N.T. Wright wrote in a book called Simply Christian. I'd recommend this book, Simply Christian. He says that the Holy Spirit isn't given just to us for us. Not just to us, for us. Not for our own delight, for our own comfort, for our own amazement at what the Holy Spirit can do. He writes, the Holy Spirit is given to do the work of making God's future real in the present. Making God's future real in the present. The Holy Spirit comes to us out of that new world waiting to be born, where peace and justice flourish, where the wolf and the lamb will lie down together. It's the new creation that John caught a glimpse of at the end of his prophecy, the Revelation, where he wrote, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's coming. N.T. Wright says that the Holy Spirit given to us is a foretaste. It's a sneak peek in the present of what one day will come in absolute fullness. It's what Isaiah prophesied, saying that one day the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. It's what Amos prophesied, that one day justice will roll down like a river and righteousness like a never-ending stream. It's what Micah prophesied, that one day they'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation anymore, nor will they train for war anymore. One day. The Holy Spirit brings a foretaste of this in the present. It's what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That Christ anointed us and set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. A guarantee, a promise. To quote N.T. Wright again, he said, that word, Erebon in Greek, it's like an engagement ring. Something given in the present, promising something that's going to come in fullness, given in love. Our role is to join with God in Christ, like receiving that engagement ring, to help make the things of God more visible now in this world that is wildly broken. Possibilities into realities. One body, many parts, gifted by the Holy Spirit, all moving in the same direction toward the common good God intends. It's the kingdom of God breaking into the jaw-clenched world we live in. It's God's people filled, sent, following Jesus with these amazing gifts. So when we stand up and speak up for someone who is being threatened with violence or abuse or any type of threat, when we stand up and speak up for what is right and true and just in the face of what is wrong and false and unjust, even if it's with our family and close friends, and even if it's in those hot-button topics like politics and social issues, standing up for what's right and true and just, when we stand up and speak up for what reflects Jesus, we're part of this. this new kingdom. When we seek true reconciliation, small scale to large scale, between us, between others, helping others reconcile, and most importantly, helping people get into that reconciled right relationship with God, we're part of this. These are glimpses. This is the deposit, the foretaste, like an engagement ring of what one day will be here in awesome fullness. God's peace, God's shalom, God's justice, God's righteousness for the common good God intends. So Dylan, coming back to you. This is what you're part of. This is what you were baptized into today. It's what all of us who've been baptized into or who one day will be baptized, what we're part of. We're not saved by baptism, but we're saved through Jesus Christ. We're saved, we're immersed into Jesus, into this life of being clothed with Christ, this new creation that's coming. And when we know that it's Jesus calling us, and that it's Jesus with us, and it's the Holy Spirit moving inside of us, deep in our bones, we know that we are God's beloved. That's more than just about us. We're made for more than just me. We're made for God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's pray. God, we pray that you would continue to work powerfully in each one of us. Unearth those things that do not reflect you, and plant those things that do, grow the things that do. And as we come to the table now, Lord, we pray that we would come in humility and eagerness, with a hunger for what only you can give. We come with our sins. We come into your grace. We come in the presence of you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.